You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, when I was in college and figuring out what I wanted to major in, one of the options for me was education. So I took ED 202, taught by Rhonda Beeman. She was a big deal. Northern Arizona University was originally a teacher's college, so we had a strong education department. And I signed up for this legendary class. People told me about it. Was not a regularly scheduled class. It met on like four weekends all day long, or Friday night and then all day Saturday. It was an intensive class. And one of the units that we had on that, and Rhonda Beeman was phenomenal in how she would teach the teachers, one unit was on adversity and the ability of a person to deal with adversity will determine their success and their vocation, especially as a teacher, but of course, any human being, right? This is before the popularity recently on things like emotional resilience and grit, but it's the same kind of thinking. Her husband actually came in and led the unit. He was a psychologist, and he gave us a psychological assessment called the AQ test. Rather than IQ, it was your adversity quotient. And we took it and we got feedback on areas where we were strong and areas where we had room for improvement. It was interesting. I got something out of that. We didn't really talk about why adversity happens, but more just the practical how to deal with it. Today in our reading from Deuteronomy, however, we are given a why. Why do we face adversity? Did you know that surfer culture, has a spiritual component to it, and surfer's favorite book of the Bible, do you know which one it is? Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, okay? And in this book of Deuteronomy, we have an explanation for why we face adversity. Moses said to the people, I give you two options today, life and prosperity or death and adversity. If you follow the laws of God, life and prosperity. But if you turn your heart away from God, death and adversity. Therefore, according to Moses' logic in Deuteronomy, when we have adversity in our life, it's because our heart has turned away from God. That's tough stuff. That's some hard teaching for us to think about. But it's so important. I mean, think about where this was in the history of God's people. Moses had been called by God and led the people out of slavery, out of Egypt, to Mount Sinai. And on Mount Sinai, God gave them the law. Not just the Ten Commandments, but laws on how to live, how to practice their religion. And then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, a generation, living on nothing but manna, this bread from heaven that was flaky, scraped off the earth, and occasionally some quail, water, when it could be found, gushing from a rock. And at the end of this wandering, here they are, Deuteronomy, it goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy marks the end of the Pentateuch, the Torah, the end of the law, and the people are about to cross the Jordan into the promised land. And at this critical moment, Moses gives these last words, these last teachings, saying, you're going to get land, you're going to get freedom, you're going to have opportunity, and it's up to you how to use it. You've been given God's law. What are you going to do about it? If you follow the law of prosperity, if you don't, if your heart turns away, adversity. It's a good passage to read on this Sunday before President's Day. Last week, we talked a little bit about Abraham Lincoln and how in his life, the cross of Christ, like we're marked with the cross in our baptism, was a focal point for him to endure the adversity in his life of losing children and the Civil War and the Emancipation Proclamation and eventually amending the Constitution. Well, out of fairness, we should talk about George Washington. Now, I'm a student of history, and by student it means I have a lot to learn. But I've learned this about George Washington. I can't help but see a similarity between him and Moses today. George Washington is kind of like a Moses figure for the United States because he was there at that critical moment. He was a leader. He was kind of a lawgiver. He was there during the forming of the Constitution, the laws that govern our nation. When we won our independence, he said, this land, you have an opportunity here. We can grow. We can expand. We have a freedom, a fresh opportunity. It's up to us whether we choose to follow those laws, to seek after prosperity or not. Would we face adversity? You know, George Washington faced a lot of adversity and handled it remarkably well. I mentioned he was baptized as an infant. His family likely immigrated looking for religious freedom. Washington faced adversity personally, too. After the Revolutionary War, it was noticed that he took communion a lot less, and there's debate as to why. Did he feel guilty? Did he not want to sort of privilege one church body over another? And so he just kind of abstained and just was more of a neutral participant? We're not really sure. But he was a faithful churchgoer. And he did believe in religious freedom. He was very clear on that. It wouldn't just be for Protestant Christians. when there would be movements in the army to try to be anti-Catholic, he suppressed that. He said, no, we're not about that. This is a land for all religions, religious freedom. One of the things that George Washington really struggled with, like Abraham Lincoln, was slavery. That very sad chapter of our history. Washington inherited a lot of slaves that were a part of Mount Vernon. And while he never publicly came out as an abolitionist, privately his letters and his correspondence demonstrate that he struggled deeply with it and understood that it was wrong, that there was a conflict between being a land of freedom and opportunity and having slaves, an inherent contradiction. That question of, do we live according to this law, these standards we hold to, or do we not? And what is the consequence? Today in our life, we have adversity still. Lots of adversity in our world. And there's a temptation to blame this adversity on groups of people. And we hear people doing that, sadly. That all of our troubles are due to this group or that group. Whether it's a political party, whichever one, people like to blame the other one. And then you hear rhetoric about class. Well, it's all the poor people's fault. They're mooching off the system. And then you hear the other folks say, no, it's all the super rich people's fault. They're mooching off the system. There's this human tendency to find a group and blame them for our adversity. But that is not what God calls us to do. Moses says, if you face adversity, take a look in the mirror and ask yourself if your heart is turned toward God. Paul says in the letter to 1 Corinthians, when you quarrel about the flesh, that external stuff, you are not living according to God. Take a look in the mirror and ask if your own heart is turned toward God. Thankfully, even if our hearts stray from time to time, God's heart is faithful. God always has God's heart open to us, loving us unconditionally, not letting anything come in the way between God's love and us. Even this reading from Matthew, these are challenging readings this morning, okay? Let's just say it. This reading from Matthew, Jesus' words are very challenging. He takes some of the Ten Commandments and he doesn't lighten them up and say, oh, you know, it's okay, don't worry about it. He says, no, if you're going to be my follower, we're going to take it up a notch. And that can be hard for us to listen to and maybe make us feel a little guilty. But think about it from another way. Jesus is saying that he loves us so much that he wouldn't let any thought come between his love and us. His love for us is so pure that the importance of a relationship is so essential that not even anger will he let it get in the way. Not even an inappropriate thought will he let that get in the way. Relationships and having trusted relationships, friendships, family, neighbors are essential to the faith. And as we talk about baptism during this season, baptism is the thing that we point to that establishes our relationship with Christ. It's a gift for us, unconditional love. Even if our hearts stray, God comes back to us over and over again through baptism and communion and the Word to reestablish our relationship. And the even better news is that when we are in relationship with one another and with God, we have strength to face adversity. When a person has adversity in their life, if they go it alone, it is much more difficult. But when you are in fellowship with other people, when you are a member of a church, you have a support network to help you through adversity. And in our baptism, we are connected one to another. We are a part of a network that gives us strength. God makes a relationship with us. We relate to one another, and that gives us strength to face adversity. Like I was talking about with the children in the children's sermon this morning, one of the ways that we can build a relationship with people is through generosity and giving. talking about those steps of baptism, one of the things that you can do, essentially what baptism is, it's a roadmap for how you make a relationship with someone. When you want to evangelize someone, you want to disciple someone, you want to bring them into the church so that they know God, you present yourself, you share your faith, you give thanks for God's blessings. Hopefully there's a moment of baptism. You pray for people. You mark with the cross of Christ and you give. You share a gift. It doesn't have to be an expensive, you know, Rolex watch. Cards. Thoughtful things. Time is maybe one of the most important gifts we can give to one another. And then there's that reading in Matthew about the passing of the peace. Did you catch that? When you go to give your offering to God, when we pass these plates, Jesus says, before you give your offering, if there's a sour note with someone, right? If you've ruffled someone's feathers or they ruffled yours, before you give your offering, go make peace. That's why we pass the peace. To go and say, the peace of the Lord be with you. We might have had our differences, but God's peace is supreme. Then we give our offering before God with a clear conscience. Giving our time and our vulnerability is the greatest gift we could give to one another. So George Washington feared that if he would come out as an abolitionist, it might tear the country apart. He was probably right, knowing what we know about the Civil War. What he did do, he noticed a couple things. One, he noticed that slavery doesn't make sense economically. The more slaves that were born in his estate in Mount Vernon, the more they were plunged into debt. It was a losing proposition financially, as an economy grows especially. Not to mention, it is morally repugnant and wrong. So what he did do, his dying wish when he drafted his will was to liberate, emancipate every single slave belonging to both him and Martha, his wife. Upon his death, his slaves were emancipated. Those of Martha were attached to her, but she didn't wait till her death. She emancipated all of them. Relationship is what counts. Relationship is what gives us adversity, the strength to face adversity, I should say. And by God's grace, we form relationships with one another. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.